Meet up, everybody.
Listen to the sound that you hear, like an echo in your head. There's a strange vibration rising out from the heart of America, America. Listen to the sound of the drum calling players to the game of the new world order. Don't be caught unaware when the heads start rolling. No, it couldn't happen here. I know it wouldn't happen here.
Hey guys, this is Colby, and you're coming live from the state of Jefferson with myself, Chuck, and Drew. We also have Cassandra coming on, and we also have Tony Bones. So
we're waiting for her call.
We are waiting for her call.
So go ahead and tell them what we've got online tonight.
On the line tonight, we've got Tony Bones, who's a member of Cop Block. She's also an activist in a lot of aspects. She got cited a while back by a code enforcement officer for using tires for garden beds, and has honestly done whatever she could to jump in and say, you know, no, it's not okay for you to come on my property when I resource something and do something good about it. So right now we've got Tony Bones on the line. Tony, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Doing pretty good.
I am going to hide in my car so I can plug in my phone and talk to you for a little bit without kids. All right.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show, Tony. This is Chuck.
Nice to meet you, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
And we also have Drew and Cassandra Rules from Redlands, California on tonight.
Awesome, awesome. I just became Facebook friends with Cassandra, and I'm already pretty impressed. I'm excited to talk and hear from her.
All right. Well, I think we're pretty impressed with both you ladies, the activism you're doing and the results you're getting. It speaks volumes. So
thank you.
So I'm going to turn this back to Colby. This is his show. I don't want to charge in on it. So go ahead, Colby.
All right. So, Tony, we would just like you to explain a little bit about what Cop Block is and the activism you're doing and, like, the situation that you're having, that you're dealing with the police in your local area.
Well, let's see, where do I start? Well, first of all, Cop Block is decentralized. It's pretty much like it says on the site. It's a decentralized group of people. It's a project, very diverse, but we're all pretty much united with the goal of, you know, accountability and transparency among law enforcement. It's pretty clear and obvious that it's increasingly getting more scary and dire situations as far as brutality and entitlement and all that goes. Cop Block is probably what's most near and dear to my heart, but I do have a lot of different projects going in many different directions as far as activism goes. Sorry, what was the question exactly?
So why don't you explain to us the situation that you're going through right now with your plea bargain refusals that you're having with your local jurisdiction?
Ah, that's right, yes. Locally, basically, they're minor traffic things, but like I've explained before, and especially as we get into the Kelly Thomas thing, I have a really serious problem with funding this kind of behavior that we're seeing.
Are you still there?
It appears we lost one and gained possibly another.
No, Sandra's back again. She's going to be back in a second.
Right, we lost Tony, though.
Yeah, well, it's just...
So, to dive a little deeper, Tony's on here. I hope she's still listening. And we can get her to call back in. But recently, she was repurposing tires to make garden beds. She saw something on Pinterest and went into it. And then they issued some tickets on that or some code violations. And she's also a part of the... Let's be honest, you know, she's the anti-statist movement. She's pulling the right to travel, and she's very upset about it. She's doing a great job of it. I mean, Chuck and Drew, I'm sure you've got some insight on this, but until we can get her back on here.
Yeah, how dare she try and grow food in her own yard? That just seems to be really a revolutionary act. I mean, by the way, Cassandra, she just was back on and got booted. Oh man, this is gonna be a nightmare show, I think. Okay, we got a woman on a bus, and we got another one trying to call in from a phone on the car. I think they're getting phone calls. So it's whatever. Anyway, both these ladies are involved in some I would call it outstanding activism, because they're raising the level of awareness in their neighborhoods and in their communities to the things that are going on there that aren't, they really aren't good things. They're not moral things. Their activity is being undertaken by the police and being instigated by maybe authorities higher up that are really limiting our own freedoms and our abilities to do the things that we want to do in our life. And so it's, my hat is off to them. We have had recently in the Rogue Valley, we had Colby was involved in this, so was Drew. They were at an Ashland City Council meeting where Ashland was trying to pass a gun ordinance, and I really think the activism from the people in the community changed the day. The gun ordinances were voted down 4-1, and the passion and the information that they brought to that meeting changed a couple of minds, I believe, and it went from being something that maybe would have passed 3-2 to going down in flames 4-1. I still don't know what's up with that one guy who voted for it still. Anyway, I think do we have Tony back?
We've got both callers, I think, back now.
Okay.
And actually, that would have gone down 6-1.
We were talking about...
The mayor wouldn't have actually chimed in that either. It wasn't 4-1. It was we changed hearts and minds in that town, and that was 15 people using activism. And Tony, back to your issues with your local ordinance and your local police.
Basically, my issue is they're all very minor tickets that could easily be resolved with like less than $35 on one and probably a couple hundred or something on the other. But the point is, it's not about how much money it is. I don't believe in victimless crimes, and I'm not going to fund the kind of behavior where people are literally coming through people's yards and impeding their, freedom of movement to extort money from peaceful people. It's disgusting. And so basically my issue is that I have a moral obligation. Like, I have an issue with giving my kids resources away to strangers who I know for a fact are operating on this money and committing violence and robbing people. Like, I mean, that's absurd. So basically, the big deal about that is that I've asked to do something productive for society. I'm okay with doing community service, something to that effect. I will not give my resources over, or my family's resources over. So, and that judge, the judge I'm dealing with this time, which is the same as the last time with the tire ordeal, he's not a big fan of people, I guess, doing productive things for society. He's more interested in the business aspects and is telling me that I am going to be going to jail.
So just a question real quick, because I don't know the answer to this. I've seen your videos on your tire ordeal, but did you win or lose that case?
Well, it's hard to, what is win and lose? It's hard to say. I was technically found guilty. See, when I got to court, I noticed right off the bat that outside the courthouse and police station were recycled tire planters that someone had painted blue and put plants in. So, and I later found out that that was actually the police chief and his granddaughter that had created those and put them out there. So when I got there to trial, the prosecutor, however, was not willing to make that kind of, it was almost like a gesture of respect, I think, what they had done. But the prosecutor wasn't really ready to live it down, so to speak. So basically she proceeded to, like, she was saying it wasn't about tires anymore, even though, like, it's been all over CNN and internationally, like, it's always been about tires. And then we get to court, and now the prosecutor's like, no, it's got nothing to do with tires. Now it's about, I guess I had, like, these totes outside, and I had thrown a rug over them, because I do container gardening, and basically it's silly. Basically, she found me guilty of making a table in my yard, and then they gave me 10 days of unsupervised probation of not making tables in my yard, I guess, and then they tried to give me court fees, because I, you know, asked for a jury trial, and the other judge tried to recuse himself and all these different things, but, you know, court fees are still funding the same criminal organization, and I was not okay with doing that. Therefore, she allowed me to do community service and substitution for that. So the police chief reached out to me and asked me to work on actually the city's flower beds, which I found kind of, you know, humorous. And it's something I would do anyways, you know, out of enjoyment and playing, you know, in grass and planting things. So that's what I ended up doing. So I was found guilty, but I still see it as winning. There's a level of respect there. There's more kind of an open line of communication, so to speak. I don't have any problems with Sugar Creek law enforcement anymore. In fact, I remember walking up to a traffic stop, and Sergeant Myers looked and saw me coming and said, "Oh, God, no," which I thought was great. I thought it was hilarious because he, you know, was concerned about YouTube videos or whatever it was. You know, he's joked about, you know, I don't want you to make me famous, so to speak. But I said, thank you. I said, that might be one of the highlights of my activist career, because what you just said right there, oh, God, no, is exactly what goes through people's minds when they see you walking up towards them. And you have claimed this right for the so-called protection, you know. So I pointed that out to him. I said, thank you. That is one of the highlights of my activist career, you know. Oh, God, no. I was like, that's exactly what people think when they see you. So maybe not a highlight, but I did find it pretty amusing.
I think it's terrific. I want to say that I have been trying to make this point to other people, the things that's going on with you. The police in a lot of communities, a lot of counties, they're turning into highwaymen. They're turning into the very thing that we created police to protect us from in the first place. They no longer protect and serve. They're like a leech, just trying to extract any money they can out of us to fund the status that, you know, to try and rule our lives. It's amazing how this transformation has gone on, and people accept it. And not only do they accept it, they think that the police are there to serve them still, and they aren't. They're there to extract money from them.
If we're down to a free market, you have to open the market to competition. This will always occur every single time. It doesn't matter if it's a monopoly on protection. It doesn't matter if it's a monopoly on peanut butter. When you have a conflict of interest, and when you don't have a free market, you're going to create a black market. You're going to create problems. And so that boils down to kind of striking the root with, you know, a free market. If people were free to, you know, create other forms of protection, then, you know, people, you know, the market could respond, you know. And I don't think people would be calling people that showed up and traumatized their kids and shot their dogs and this and that. You know, they'd probably be like, hey, maybe I'll go with these guys over here, which have demonstrated actually an interest in de-escalating a situation and creating solutions versus revenue and farming people for their resources. So I think that's kind of just...
So, Tony, I don't want to cut you off on that, but actually I read an article recently, just today even, that I posted on a page that has a SWAT team registered as a corporation instead of an actual government entity. So they're not actually reciprocal to laws for freedom of information. So they are...
They can call them... themselves part of the Unicorn Brigade, you know, I don't care what they consider themselves, I'll still hold each individual accountable for the atrocities that they commit on other people. It doesn't matter what your costume says or what badge you have or where your paycheck comes from, so I don't know. They're not
right, but I mean, we all believe in free market.
Go ahead.
We all believe in free market,
though. That Kelly Thomas video before, calling you guys, and now I'm all fired up, and so I'm sorry.
Why? No, it's perfectly fine. But here's the thing, is we all believe in free market, but at that point, it almost proves point of government, because...
Well, Colby, there's only one entity. No one's going to hire...
How can a SWAT team be a free market?
No one's going to hire somebody that's... or going to even accept the authority of someone who's been discredited through their actions. Somebody who's... example of how a market can work is in Detroit right now. Now, it's kind of a lawless area. The sheriff says he can't protect people. There are private security firms that have been hired by larger corporations that are going through, and they're trying to protect people because they realize that the people are the source of information of criminals, and the more criminals that can get off the street, the easier their job's going to be to protect the companies that are hiring them to, you know, protect things. So they're trying to help people, and they're trying to kind of live up to that protect and serve motto instead of, shake down and rob. And it's working pretty well. I mean, it's not as well as it should be yet because there's too few security firms and still a lot of criminals out there. But it's working better than it was working before because the police just wouldn't go into those areas. It's too dangerous.
I want to chime in on that real quick. And you've got the floor for the next 5 minutes, Bam. Totally. And what's the problem with private security firms, though? There is a problem. We had a guy when I was in the military that he was told to piss hot, as in bad urinalysis. He went and did cocaine when he would have a urinalysis, and he did it. He was in Afghanistan before I was, making $250,000, and they don't care what they do when they're making that much money. They just don't care. And that's the difference. Is there, for things like that, protect and serve is an oath, which some of you don't agree with Constitution and things like that. Some of you do. But at the same time, you got to think, when you have an oath to the people, there's a different, completely different mentality about it. If you use it right.
Colby, that wasn't really free market. That was a monopoly corporation. They didn't have any competition for their authority. They could do whatever they wanted, and they still had the job. In a free market, they'd lose the job.
On the last Cop Walk tour, Pete Air actually went through Detroit. Was it the last one or maybe the one before? It's irrelevant. But he did talk to a Detroit Threat Management Center, I think it was called. I wish I knew the exact name. I was so impressed. They are all about de-escalation, and like I really encourage everybody to go to copwalk.org and look up Detroit Threat Management Center. What they have done is amazing. They do... they support people. It's like it's private, security or whatever. But it's they support people of domestic violence. You know, they help them get to court safely. They give them training on victim prevention. You know, and all these and actual like creating like solutions versus just. It's really amazing. I wish I would have read a little bit more beforehand, but I really encourage everybody to check that out because that is an awesome, awesome, awesome example of people stepping up and doing the right thing and actually seeing results, especially in Detroit. I wish I could remember his name, Detroit Managed or Threat Management Center. Definitely look that up if that's something you're curious about.
We'll find it and we'll share it onto our Facebook page and we'll post it in the chat if we can do this before our show's over. So that is awesome. I mean, it's the stuff that's going on in Detroit, is real free market. The stuff that's going on over in Iraq, that's a contract with a monopoly on use of force, so it's not the same thing. Back to you, Colby.
Well, is everybody wondering chat at all?
Pardon?
Drew.
Yeah, in a voluntary society, reputation is very important, and that's kind of where that falls in with that, I think. I got distracted. Go ahead, guys.
Sorry, I was asking Drew if he was monitoring chat.
Oh, I actually have been looking at. They're they're keeping up with our conversation pretty well there. They have their own experiences there.
If they have any questions, post them up in the chat, guys, and we'll get to them if we can.
Please do, any questions. So, I'm pretty honest.
Tony, what's up with your next plea deal while we're waiting for chat questions, if they're possible?
My next plea deal. Everybody's got, their limits, so to speak. I thought, originally I was going to take, the plea deal or refuse the plea deal for, the three-day thing for not having my license on me while driving. Basically, it was a show-me-your-paper stop. There was no reason to pull me over. I didn't have it on, my license. I was, moving, the kids were in the car, and, little Ranger Rick looking dude, thought he was going to do me a favor. I felt like he was doing me a favor, even kind of flirty. I just remember being grossed out by the experience in general, but ended up giving me this ticket for failure to provide identification, which to me is an act of submission. It's my slave identification card that I'm supposed to be carrying around while I'm operating my property, my modern-day horse. It's absurd. Even the whole, legal license, whatever. I had a legal license, which is kind of irrelevant to me anyways. But anyways, I had a legal license. If they were suspended, he would have had no problem at all kidnapping me in front of my children. So basically, it was just a show-me-your-paper shakedown. He told me, just show it to the judge, he'll throw it out, whatever. That's not how it works. It's a business. You don't deliver a ransom note and go through all of that and just have them throw it out. Or maybe he would have if I would have batted my eyes sweetly or, submitted, or I hadn't, had him all over CNN and embarrassed him severely the last time I refused the plea deal. I don't know. That's not the point. The point is that it's an act of submission. I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't hurt anybody. And the fact that they're threatening me, literally, and trying to extort money from my family, that just doesn't really sit well with me. So I'm not going to be doing that. On the 1st, I have a court date. So it's July 1st and July 21st. July 21st is the court date for the not having my slave card on me, basically. And July 1st is for, I was driving my sister's car, and it didn't have the right stickers on the license, basically, and I don't think she had insurance. So I got pulled over taking my kids to the library. We actually made it to the library parking lot. That was kind of an ordeal. Some of my Facebook friends probably remember, I didn't have my phone. It was just a nightmare scenario. But so basically, those are hefty fines for not, not having your insurance, which is another form of extortion. We don't pay that. So they're pretty heavy fines. And because I, honestly, in the beginning, I thought, because it's going to be 10 days away from my family, which sucks, man. I don't want to sit in a cage. I don't want to do this. But God damn it, what, since when is doing what's right, what is easy? Maybe if other people grew a spine, they wouldn't feel so comfortable throwing little moms in cages for non-crimes. But that's just not where we're at right now. And so I won't do it. So, well, originally I thought maybe, I was tempted just to pay for the bribe, I didn't want to be gone from my kids for what was going to be, 2 weeks, but then I sat around and thought more about it and remembered kind of more who I was, and I'm not going to take that plea deal either, or I'm not going to give them my money either. So that's going to get trumped up. I believe I'm going to be looking at 10 days, so probably July 1st. Through July 11th, I'll be kidnapped and caged because I don't have money to donate to criminals. We live humbly. I don't have much, but, God damn it, I earned everything I have, and they are not entitled to it, and they will not have it. And I will send my kids to go have fun and play on a farm, and I will pay twice their fee. I'll pay 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. I don't care. It's not the point. I'll pay all that and more on child care. I won't do it. I won't do it. And I don't, I can't say that there's, another situation. There's people like Rich Paul, that is a badass motherfucker right there. I can cuss, right? That is a badass motherfucker. He refused a plea deal. He was looking at up to 80 years in a cage. And he's back in a cage for victimless crime bullshit. But that is refusing a plea deal. He refused a plea deal on, ended up getting, snips, basically for selling, the equivalent of, a stick of butter, basically, of flowers, a pot. Medicine, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's voluntary interaction. Now, that's something amazing. But if we are too scared and intimidated to stand up to something as simple as a failure to provide your slave identification card or not having insurance, then what are our kids going to be looking at? they put people in cages for being poor that can't afford it, that can't feed their families, that just can't do it, and they kidnap and they put them in cages when they're least expecting it, basically, with warrants, because they can't afford it. What the fuck are you going to do when I refuse to? I can't afford it, but I will not. I will not. And hopefully other people will start being like, oh, yeah, maybe this, you know, goofy person I've never met before in my life isn't entitled to my family's resources and, you know, might actually go spine and get a notion as to what liberty is. Because at this point, I look around and I am really afraid of this place that I'm leaving my kids in. And it's been said so many different times by different people and whatever, you know, those willing to sacrifice their liberty for the illusion of safety lose both, and they deserve neither. And I am just overwhelmed and sick of hearing people complain and talk about liberty and this and that, and they want to look at me like I'm effed up because I'm going to spend 3 days in a cage, you know, just practicing my preach. I don't know. I'm trying not to get... I usually feel pretty upbeat and everything. This will be the longest time I've been in the cage. And, you know, I'm a real person. I'm not going to lie. Am I nervous? Of course. Do I want to go sit in a cage? No.
Yeah, but you've done nothing wrong. And I've looked this up. And our Supreme Court in Oregon has actually ruled that travel is a right of the people in automobiles. And unless you're actually collecting commerce, you know, you're not committing a crime. And I've looked this up. And I still have a license that's not exempt, but I'm a mechanic. So for me, if I was going to work at a shop, I have to drive the cars, which I have to be on their insurance and blase blase, and I have to have one. You don't have to have one to travel. And it's been ruled by Supreme Courts, and it's not been overturned yet. And people think that, you know, that all this stuff they do, like, I'm an unincorporated city completely. And they
driver's license
traffic,
is another shape.
Traffic schemes for a, they have a person walk across a road and they're sitting back behind some bushes, and the second the person doesn't stop when the person's entering the roadway on the other side of the road that would not hurt them, they pull them over, and it's a Terry stop, but no one actually acknowledges this. And I think you're on the right path with this, Tony. And I mean why I'm not collecting money, it states this, and it states it under so many Supreme Court rulings, and it's just completely incoherent that people don't understand it, but they never read them.
And if you know, if you look at the very worst thing that can happen to you, you've already gone through all that in your mind. And what's it going to give you? It's giving you an opportunity to tell the taxpayers of the city of Kansas City or wherever it was that this took place, the county or whatever jurisdiction it is, you can explain to them how they had to pay for 10 days of your stay in a jail because of the stupidity of the police.
Yeah.
And so it just gives you a chance to just show them how much this is costing them out of their pocketbooks because you just refused to be robbed. And so they're going to rob the taxpayers some more instead. And that's, you know, it's not going to be good public relations for the police, no matter
what
they do.
When are people going to acknowledge the fact that they're funding their own farming of resources? I don't know. I mean,
you kind of have to keep bringing it up to them how they're kind of screwing themselves entirely by supporting this police state, and you know, changing minds one at a time is about the best you can hope for, but you can do it because you're a very, very persuasive speaker.
it's a war on apathy is what it is, and it's not about, you know, like, we're hacking at the branches, so to speak, and we're talking about, oh, like, well, this piece of paper said this, and this person voted on this. I'm like, no, once you get to the root of it and understand that that's a stranger, I don't know who the hell that is, or this person, I don't have any right to, like, input. Like, once you get and self-ownership and self-governance, which is huge. It involves a lot of responsibility. You know, at least for me, like, I take being principled very seriously. Like, I'm sorry to rant and ramble, but sorry, my friend just showed up here. I'm trying to, like, shoot him off or whatever. I don't even know where I was getting with that, but.
Well, I'm very impressed with you and your struggles, and I think you should take a notepad and a pencil and maybe an eraser to your jail cell and start writing, because you have a lot of great thoughts and thinking in there, and just get deep into the nature of freedom and how horribly corrupt we've let the system become around us, because you did a great job of expressing those thoughts tonight on our show so far. So I think you need to write those down and publish them so more people can read your thoughts.
Those are my next steps, is to, I'm really trying to take this in more of a freelance, not quite a business, but direction. You know, I'm a writer, I'm a thinker, I'm a dreamer. I'm trying to get comfortable talking and in front of the camera, and while I may not look like it, I am a socially awkward nerd, and I am a hermit at heart, you know. But, you know, what I told Gary Helm when I was standing up there and he was telling me he was going to put me in a cage and laughing at me, mocking me, like I was a crazy person. I said, you know, you're laughing, but it's not my kids that are going to be ashamed of me. You know, I'm going to miss them, but my kids will not be burdened with the memory of their mom being a coward. Like, your ancestors will be ashamed of you, and that's even if history remembers you, which I don't know what's worse.
Yeah.
Well, you've done a great job, and, I mean, you're spreading the word through Cop Block and many other things. But this time we're going to bring on Cassandra Rules, who was at the hearing today, and she's got a lot to say, so let's get to her.
Awesome. Do you mind if you want me to call back in, or do you let you go? Or?
You can stay right in here.
Stay in, and you can ask questions if you want.
You can mute your phone and stay, I mean, chime in whenever you'd like to.
Look for me. I will call you back in about 15 minutes. I'm going to wrangle kids really quick.
Okay.
But I definitely want to talk to Cassandra and give her my love, and I'll call you guys back in like 15 minutes if that's okay. And I appreciate you guys. I appreciate so much all the, you know, people stepping up to whatever effect and capacity they can, especially independent journalism, because that is what is making a difference. But I appreciate
We're all
you guys.
Volunteers.
Give her my love. I will call you back
Thursday.
Soon. Awesome. Hey. Thank you guys so much.
Rock on, Tony. Hello?
You're there. And
okay.
You are live.
So. Hey everybody, this is Cassandra Rules, coming to us
hey.
from a bus stop somewhere in California.
Yeah, I'm staying off the bus for a minute because it kept cutting off, so I will continue my journey back later.
Yeah, she's actually really, I don't know how to say this, you've really gone the extra mile to be on the show tonight, and we really, really appreciate it. And I think our listeners, after hearing about this, I think a lot of them have heard about the Kelly Thomas story, but not the way you're going to tell it to us. And they're going to hear about, I don't know if he's a detective or just a whatever, this piece of shit, Ramos. You're going to tell them about him, and so I'm going to stop talking and let you talk.
Okay, well, where should I start? Should I tell the story of Kelly Thomas?
Yeah, let's go ahead and tell about
Most of us have heard the story of Kelly Thomas. If you haven't, Cassandra, jump into that really quick and tell them what's
okay.
happening. And if everybody's got a link, post it up in the chat also.
All right, well, to sum it up, Kelly Thomas was a homeless schizophrenic man that, you know, people around Fullerton knew him. He was, you know, not really a threat. He was just, you know, sometimes he could be annoying or whatever, but he wasn't, you know, nobody considered him really dangerous. He was just, you know, somebody everybody knew. So on the night of July 5th, 3 years ago, and the anniversary's coming up this year in the area, please come to Kelly's Corner, because we will. Slide Bar, which is owned by one of the guys from Lit, Jeremy Popov, decided to call the Fullerton Police Department because Kelly Thomas was walking around without a shirt, looking for cigarette butts in the parking lot. I guess it's probably making people uncomfortable, so they called and said that he was trying to break into cars. Nobody knows for sure if he was or he wasn't. A lot of people say that he wasn't. But either way, cops came. Officer Ramos and Jay Cisnelli started searching his belongings. They found some mail that didn't belong to him in his backpack. And so they were trying to arrest him for that. They had no actual real reason to arrest him or to search him or anything, honestly. But he wasn't fully cooperative. So the famous words of Ramos, he was like, you see these fists, they're getting ready to fuck you up. He snapped on some rubber gloves and couple minutes later, Kelly Thomas got beat by six Fullerton police officers for 9 minutes while pleading for his life. I think he called out for his dad 34 times. I think he said, "I'm sorry," 32 times. I think over the course of the 9 minutes until his last words, there were 103 pleas for help or mercy or, you know, offering compliance, but they didn't stop, and he was put into a coma and died on July 10th. So that's, I guess, the gist of what happened there.
It's a very, if you've ever seen the video, it's hard for people like me who've been to Afghanistan and Iraq, and I've taken care of some very endangered people, in dangerous times, people, you know, medically. And, I mean, that video was hard for even me to watch with what was going on. And there's other videos that have other footage, and it's honestly, it's appalling at points what they did to that guy. It's just, it's a scary thing. I mean, this is what happens, and then you can watch the video and then hear the story change the whole time through the recording. And it's sad. It's a very sad situation.
When the paramedics arrived on the scene, and they testified to this in court, they were told to treat the scratch on Ramos's stupid elbow while Kelly Thomas was lying dying in the gutter. And they didn't even tell the paramedics that Kelly was laying there or that he was dying. Like, and they're sitting there treating this stupid idiot's elbow while Kelly's, like, you know, gone. Finally, one of the paramedics looked over and saw him, and they ran over and tried to treat him, but he had been beat with a taser. He had been knelt, like, had knees of six men on top of him and was just pummeled.
He had five guys on top of him. One was beating with the head with a flashlight. One was beating with a taser.
There's just, six officers.
I rewatched the video the other day. There was five or six officers. Sometimes, but he was beaten with a taser. He was beaten with a flashlight. He was beaten with fist. It looked like the gang jumping. It was,
well, they did.
It was very, very odd and sad. To hear how many times he was tased was even sadder.
Yeah, but, the main two, like, Jace Cicinelli shouldn't have even been on the police force. He's collecting $40,000 disability pension from the LAPD every single year because he was shot in the face. Unfortunately, well, I'm not even gonna go there. But he was shot in the face. He lost his eye, and he's collecting disability from the LAPD. He should not have been on the streets. Period. Especially considering he's. Surely has post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, dude's a freaking lunatic. But anyway, yeah.
So for those of you that don't know what's going on, why don't you recap what happened at the hearing today?
Today, right now, Ron Thomas, Kelly's dad, has a lawsuit. He's suing the city and all six of the officers. And I think he's suing the police department, the city, and six officers, or some. He's suing the officers and everybody else. So, they're doing a civil suit, or a civil trial, and, Ramos and Cincinnati, specifically Ramos, said that he is not going to speak or do a deposition.
Oops.
All questioning.
I think you're okay. You're back.
The district attorney came in and said they don't have the jurisdiction to even give him immunity. So that was cool. No immunity for him.
Isn't his refusal to give a deposition? Isn't that? If an ordinary citizen tried to do that, wouldn't they be charged with contempt of court?
I completely agree with that, honestly. If I was it's circumstantial in some instances. There's some court laws that actually you can or cannot just not show up. And you're, if you show up, there's actually a trial. If you don't show up, there won't be. So it's an odd situation. But,
He has to show up, but he's going to be able to plead the fifth, and they were kind of joking about it and like laughing, like the
judge. I don't think you can plead the fifth in a civil trial. It's just a criminal trial. It's different rules.
They that's what they talked about in court today. They said they were going to plead the fifth, and they're not going to talk because of the fact that
he's
they
gonna lose.
Could still face federal charges. They said that they'll They said that if they wait and do the civil suit after the statute of limitations expires for federal charges, which is 29 months from now, that they'll say, you know, whatever, they'll be honest and not pieces of shit for a second. But
so in other words, what happened today was that he didn't show up, but his lawyer did.
Right.
His lawyer showed up and said he's pleading the fifth this time, get over it.
No, well, the judge was supposed to decide if they could get immunity from anything that they said during the civil suit being used in the federal, if there are federal charges against them. But the attorney general sent an email and said that they're watching the case very closely and that the judge doesn't have jurisdiction to grant him any promises of immunity. Because they're trying to, like, they were explaining this to me, but I am not a lawyer. There was, they're basically trying to just, like, manipulate the system.
If you say what they said, I might comprehend it.
I'm not sure. I didn't sleep last night, so there was a few points today where I kind of zoned out. But essentially,
well, you were talking last night about going to the extensity of tying yourself to something with a zip tie. So
yeah, I was gonna be pretty upset if that bastard got immunity. Like, I was thinking about doing a sit-in in the courtroom or, you know, something. We had a PA system, and we were going to play the audio from the murder video when Ramos arrived, but he didn't show up as usual.
And he should be in everybody's eyes in that community. Should be the most despicable person that they could ever. People should cross the street to avoid him. You know, spit on the sidewalk in front of him. You don't say you're shunned. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Get out of our city. Leave.
Right.
But not before we get to sue you for everything you make the rest of your life.
I rewatched that video today, and it wasn't just him. It was a lot of officers. I mean, they did a lot of grotesque. It wasn't just one officer.
And at the end, they're all chest bumping each other. It was just sick.
Yeah, he was like, I bashed his face to hell with my taser or something on the video. Disgusting. Like, that jury found them not guilty.
I just rewatched that today. It's seriously grotesque that is allowed by officers.
And then I have all these friends who are serving more time than the fucking killers for protesting in January. When, like, after the verdict came down, 15 of my friends got, probably about 10 of my friends, but 15 people got arrested at the protest, mostly for failure to disperse. 10 of them, I think, were for failure to disperse. One was for spray painting an anarchy sign on the police department. That was my friend Luke. He just got out of jail and did 45 days for that. And then my friend Jordan, who pushed a reporter back, who had pushed her first. All on video, but Jordan was the only one charged with that, and that was what they used as the excuse to come out in full military style. But it really upsets me that the people that were out there protesting, and the live streamers especially, are looking at significantly more time than any of them will likely ever see. Really fucked up.
That is just too amazing to even believe that the protesters that were arrested for some minor vandalism. I'm sure if you can go all around Fullerton and find tagging everywhere,
No, everywhere.
And he got 45 days in jail for painting an anarchy sign on the police thing, and the policemen who were responsible for the death of another human being walked. That is just an atrocious miscarriage of justice.
Jordan, my friend, she's a 19-year-old student, awesome girl. She was blocking a shot of one of the reporters' cameras, like, and so the camera woman shoved her, and so Jordan turned around and she shoved her back, and that's what they used as the excuse to bring out, you know, armored vehicles and full riot squads. I mean, there was probably 60 cops in riot gear. I have tons of pictures from it. It was insane.
What exact town were you
in? And they just went and they snatched up all of the live streamers. Like, one third of the people who were arrested that day were live streamers. Every single live streamer that day got arrested. Like, they cherry-picked out all the live streamers.
So and what town, all what town were you in when this happened, and what kind of vehicle did they bring out?
It was in Fullerton. We were protesting outside the Fullerton Police Department the Saturday after the verdict came down.
Right.
Okay,
they brought out armored vehicles.
This is something else we wanted to kind of discuss a little bit too, is how the police have been militarized. This is really a standing army in the town of Fullerton. When they came out, you were facing an army, a small army, but still an army. They had armored vehicles. They had weapons of war. They had bulletproof vests on. They had helmets. I mean, they were ready to go to war, and you guys are facing there, and all you're doing is streaming the events of the action up to the satellite, so beam it out across the internet. And now, by the way, we have Tony has rejoined us too. So this is just an amazing story of this incident, Cassandra. This is awesome. I'm so glad that you've been on the show. So Tony is back with us. Continue. I didn't mean to talk so much.
No worries. But that day in January, okay, January, the Saturday after the Kelly Thomas verdict came down, we had this big protest. My friend AJ was also live streaming, who I went with today to court, actually. They chased him in full riot gear. He was just live streaming. He wasn't, you know, doing anything. I think he asked for one of their badge numbers. So they started chasing him. AJ outran them. And there's some amazing pictures of that. But, sorry. They issued a warrant for him, but he didn't get it until March. We had protested outside the police department at least 5 times. But the day before Ramos's court date was supposed to originally happen on May 8th, they went and arrested him at an unrelated protest in Pasadena, which is like 50 miles away. And they picked him up. They sent 6 undercovers to another protest in a whole different county to go get him the day before Ramos was supposed to have his immunity hearing last month over a 6-month-old nonviolent failure to disperse for live streaming.
Well, and that's the thing, it's like, these nonviolent offenses, it's like, what is going on? I mean, I've researched them in a large scale to the point that I have a Jeep that will not get re-tagged. I'll have a license, but it's only for if I have to do mechanical purposes. So that would be commerce. But if you're non-commerce, there's no restrictions, according to our state, at least in Oregon, by Supreme Court.
Or if you own yourself. There's no restrictions
because
you own yourself. Sorry.
Right. You're a sovereign citizen. You own yourself. It's ridiculous. And and we have so many people that are so indoctrinated. I mean, I was forever. Until I got out of the military and got screwed over, I just sat there and took everything they did to me. And nothing really made sense until I finally started digging and digging and digging and researching things. And now we're at the point where people like myself are on the top of the watch list. Why? because we get out and people are like, no. Look. You get in with
a... Hey, man, if you're going to be on a list, you better be on the top, right?
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple lists. There's a couple lists out there that I think I'd be ashamed if I wasn't on them, because they're on the right. Being on that list means you're on the right side of the argument.
If you're not on a list by now, then you might want to be a little ashamed of yourself. But that's just my two cents.
No. So Cassandra and Tony, you guys are on the
same. I'm so excited to talk to her.
States.
I appreciate it so much.
You guys talk for a minute, you know.
That's right.
Story. I was on the bus, so it kept cutting out. But that's awesome. You're awesome. Rock on.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to see other women like stepping up and not only getting active, but getting over the cattiness crap that you tend to see. Not even just, I've noticed it more with some of the guys in the movement. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It's just really exciting to see more women, just people in general, standing up, becoming more mainstream, moms, females, just because you want to talk about motivation, or just vicious for that matter. Let's talk about women and moms. You know, there's some motivation. There's some people that, you know, are thinking about these things. So I'm just excited to see you step up, and I really hope you get more involved with Women of Cop Block that's starting to take off. And I definitely wanted to express I appreciate you, and I love that. I love to see what you're doing.
That would be awesome. I was super stoked when I saw your page. I was like, oh, she's a mom. Awesome. I have a 3-year-old, so people always give me crap about it. They're like, how are you going out and risking arrest all the time and doing all this stupid shit? You have a kid. And I'm like, that's why I have a kid.
That's exactly why. That's so awesome that you understand.
What kind of mother would do that? Well, what kind of good mother wouldn't? What kind of good mother that has come to these conclusions and looks around and sees, hey, you know, this is really uncomfortable, so I'm going to go ahead and pull my head out of my ass and say, this isn't the kind of society and world that is right to leave our children in, you know, apathetically. So when people say, what kind of mother would do that? Well, what kind of good mother wouldn't? And, you know, Epson, you don't have anything to prove to anybody but yourself and your children, and when they look back, they will know. And when they talk to their kids about you, et cetera, they will know.
So. Whether you are a mother or a father or not there yet, I mean, we all know that this all affects every one of us. If you don't know Jordan Page, Cassandra, as you stated earlier, get in contact with. I mean, Jordan Page's music is honestly, it'll guide you. It's almost like punk rock or Metallica in the right spectrum.
Awesome.
For what you would think of, it's doing what you want.
Yeah,
I think we've met, but I don't know if I heard his music. I met when I went to the Music City Liberty Fest in Nashville. That's when I met Ademo and Pete Eyre for the first time. This was just after I founded Missouri Kansas Cop Block. But I had drove all the way from Kansas City, and I was just excited to have, like, a babysitter because, you know, I am a mom. That is a full-time job. That's the most important full-time job that we have. And one of the bigger things that I want to get out of, you know, my activism and to encourage, you know, other people, especially moms, to do is that there are ways we can contribute, you know, without, you know, because, like, I can't go stand, like, you know, I see, you know, someone pulled over. I'm not going to pull over on the side of the street with my kids in the back, you know, and so, you know, but there are things that we can do, you know.
I just got one. Tony, one of the things you said about it, it's really good to see more women involved, especially, and I don't mean I'm an old guy, so I'm not flirting with you. this will tell you how old I am. When I was younger.
Chuck, you want me to say it?
Yeah, the Vietnam War was.
It's good to see women of my age that are actually attractive. Getting involved because I'm a rare few.
One of the most persuasive things in ending the war in Vietnam was that all the good looking women were anti-war, and so the guys wanted to hang out with them. They started growing their hair longer because that's what they liked, and they started joining these movements to end the war. And suddenly the tide of public opinion swung way over to the end the war, and within about a year it was over. And it was just the women are the ones that civilize us, and they're the ones that show us the right path. And so it's great to see you girls or you ladies involved in this and doing what you're doing. I think it's making a huge difference.
Thank you. I think the most profound impact we can make, we are not going to live to see, and it's how we raise and respect our children. I'm not perfect. It is a work in progress for me, even, you know, learning how to turn anarchist, you know, self-ownership, you know, philosophy and belief, and properly putting it into my life and my parenting, you know, in a healthy and positive fashion, you know. But I think the most profound impact and the most important impact we can and will make is what we won't live to see, and that's how we are raising and impacting our children. And I'm just so relieved to see just another mom, somebody stand up and say, this isn't right. Something is not right here. Yes, I'm afraid. Of course I'm going to miss my kids, so I'm going to do something anyway. And that is awesome. You've got more spine and more balls than most men, and I love it. So I just wanted to put that out there, and I definitely wanted to call back in before I go curl up in the bed and let her know that. And anybody else that's on the fence, you know, like, I get it, like, you're busy, like, I've got a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old, like, I get it, but there are ways to contribute, and don't let anybody discourage you unless you think that there's not. You don't have to go to New Hampshire to make a difference. You don't have to do things by the textbook, you know, or exactly what you see somebody else in YouTube, you know. There's so many ways to make an impact, even if it's just encouraging somebody, even if it's just supporting somebody, if it's just sharing something online or just sharing ideas or just thinking before you yell at your kids and just how you present yourself. There's just so many different ways. And I'm just so excited to see people empowering each other and just getting catty, especially when it comes to women. Because let's be frank, women are vicious and catty. And I've been there, man. I work on it every day. I still kind of catch myself getting kind of like, hey, why am I being a bitch there? That's kind of negative. Why'd that pop into my head, you know? And so, I don't know. I'm just glad to see other women step up and battle that and empower each other versus get, like, us women kind of tend to sometimes.
I agree fully.
See, and that's the thing is, we want to see more of this. We want to see more of good libertarian women like yourselves stepping up.
Oh, you will.
Or anarchist women stepping up. And, I mean, you guys are doing a great thing here. And it's amazing to actually have both of you as guests tonight. And, I mean, Drew, have you gotten any good questions from the audience? Or are they just happy with the show tonight? I mean,
Drew had to get ready for he's guest hosting Bob Tuscan's show right after this show. So he had to drop off. So.
Right on.
Okay.
Yeah, my only thing I have to interject, you know, to maybe a thought process to the audience, anybody listening, you know, that's on the fence, or, like, go watch the Kelly Thomas execution. Go watch it and tell me that you cannot cry and your insides don't hurt. And then tell me that you can sleep okay at night knowing that these monsters were found not guilty and that they're being paid with your money.
And not only that, but they're both coaching Little League children.
It's disgusting. There's still out there. It was on video. It was on video. It is so blatantly obvious. And then watch that video and then challenge me and tell me that I am a bad mom or I'm out of my mind because I refuse to fund that behavior. I just want to interject the idea of I am not raising slaves and I don't need a constitution or any kind of history book or anything like that to not, I'm not raising slaves. I'm a free person. I own myself. I've not hurt anybody, and we have not done anything wrong. These strangers are not entitled to our resources. I'm not raising slaves. Please don't raise slaves. Please, we're leaving our kids here alone long after we're here to protect them.
Okay.
Wake the fuck up.
We're running out of time.
Rant. Yeah,
we're going to start in our music any second. I just want everybody out there in the audience.
This is an amazing
Need to remember to visit the podcasts and the YouTube of this show when it comes available and listen to it again, because what these two women had to say is priceless information, and it's something that you need to take to heart. And we want to thank both of you from the bottom of our hearts for joining us tonight. This has been an incredibly good show. It's going to be hard to top this one in the future, but we're going to try. But I tell you, the things
thank
you had to say
there.
Thank
you so much for what you do. We are the resistance.
Just over the top, awesome.
I'm so happy to meet you.
We'll be chatting.
You, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You'll see me.
I can't wait.
Yeah. All right, I love you guys.
You're
thank you so much.
Fantastic.
I appreciate you and everything you do. We are the resistance. That is, do not grant extra rights and stop raising slaves. Mwah!
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
You can stay on. Great show, you guys. I'm so proud of the show. This is probably the best one we have.